Good evening. As always, it's good to see everyone. I appreciate the congregation extending to me this another opportunity to stand before you and to hopefully give you something to maybe help your lives a little better. That's what I try to base my lessons on, to have encouragement and challenges for us, you know, to encourage us to do things and also to present challenges to us, whether it be overcoming some issue, whether it be doing something. But that's kind of how I've tried to base my lessons here recently. And once again, I do thank you for this opportunity to stand before you. Now, let me give you a quick disclaimer about this lesson. First off, as I said, it's not going to be terribly long. Maybe a little longer than I intended to be. I might get to rambling or something like that, but I don't intend this lesson to be very long at all. There's several points I want to make, and then I want to leave it with you. And also, this lesson might come across as a bit abrasive or harsh. If it does, I apologize, but sometimes I'm afraid we have to take that approach on certain issues, because if we go about it just, you know, gently, many times we don't adhere to the things we talk about. So if it comes across that way to you, I apologize, but I kind of intended it to be that way. I want it to catch your attention. And this lesson, the subject of it, what we want to talk about is our thoughts. Specifically with thoughts, we want to focus on our negative thoughts, the negative things that we spend our time thinking about. And these things can be stuff like worry. They can be stuff like stress, anxiety. I guess you could throw maybe complaining in there a little bit, but I really don't want to talk about that one, because that's a side product of the other three things. And it doesn't take us too long to sit here and look out in the world that we live in and see that this is something that's really bred in our society. It's this negative thought pattern. When I was living with Bobby down at Auburn, he really liked to watch the news, and that's fine. But I never watched it before that. But I started watching it with him, and it's amazing how negative news channels are. You know, there's two of them. There's Fox 6 and I think CNN, the ones that run all day. And in an hour span in the morning, they'd run the same story, and it was negative. The whole story was negative. They'd run it five times, and the whole time at the bottom, it was scrolling down there, you know, just making sure you knew what was going on. And it was just like, my goodness. So it's out there in the world around us. It is. We can't deny it. But the sad part about this, friend, is many times these things creep into Christians' lives. People who were children of God, sons of God, a peculiar people, a holy priesthood, and yet we are eaten up by the same things that the rest of the world is. And I have a question for you. Do you think God wants us to live in that state? And the answer to that is obviously, no, He doesn't. He does not want us to live in this attitude, this mindset of just being negative and being worrisome and just having high anxiety and have stress. Now, keep everything in context. I realize that as human beings, we do have stresses and worries and stuff like that. I realize that. You know, I have them too. We all do. And sometimes major things happen to us that cause us to go in these states of mind. And, you know, that's part of life, unfortunately. But what I want you to see is in our day-to-day rigors, that in our day-to-day walks that we make, it shouldn't run our lives, because it will eat us up from the inside out. It will bring us to our knees. It's just this. It's almost like a disease. It's like cancer, and it will eat us up from the inside out. And like I said, it's everywhere around us. And I remember a few months back during the whole presidential election, I heard Christian men, people who say that they believe that God is in control of everything and that He is their help and He's going to take care of them through it all, just get all in a frantic about this whole presidential election. You know, many times it's funny, it's Christians, people who claim that our God is in control of everything, we act more like He's not. And the people who don't have God, the people who ultimately have no hope, are the ones who have the better attitude in some circumstances. That attitude of everything's going to be all right. And it is. You don't think God knows what's going on? He does. And that, like I said, this thought process of being negative and being anxious and stressful and just on and on and on is a disease. And behind it is a being called Satan. Probably everyone knows this. And I look out in the crowd, and with the exception of I guess one person, and she's very young now, she's not the age yet, most of us have been coming to church for many, many years, and most of us know what it is to be a Christian. And we know Satan's behind us. And Satan is smart enough to realize that he's not going to get us stuck down in major sins. You know, when you read in Galatians chapter 5 and you read the works of the flesh, guess what? I doubt to say any of us are living in those things right now, honestly. Now, we may have cases where we stumble and fall and do them, but we don't stay in that situation. So Satan doesn't come at us from that angle. Why should he? Instead, Satan comes at us from the weight side. Remember in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, what it says, seeing we were compassionate about so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Well, he comes at us from that weight perspective because he knows that he can't get us from the sinful side, or at least he's not going to keep us. But Satan, being the smart, intelligent being it is, he knows that the weights are just as destructive. And in fact, they may be more destructive than sin many times. He'll use it against us. He'll get us so overburdened. He'll get us to the point where we just feel like we can't go on. And what he's doing the whole time is he's making us put ourselves before everyone else. He's driving this wedge between us and God, friends. That's what he's doing. And you can deny it and say he's not doing this. He is. He is. And we need to be aware of this. Satan will use this very tactic in marriages to drive wedges between people, in personal relationships to drive wedges between people. You know, it's a sad situation, but most of us probably don't want to be around people who are just really really high anxiety, high stress. It's not pleasant. And Satan uses that to drive wedges between people. And he's torn up probably thousands of marriages. Many times we think marriages fall apart mostly because of unfaithfulness. And that's the reason. But I guarantee you that the amount, if you look behind the scenes as far as stress and worry and stuff like that, is just as high. It's there. And here we are kind of caught in the middle. We're supposed to be a peculiar people, yet we live in the world. And let's be reasonable. We all do have worries and stresses. You know, that's part of life. But what if the scenario that we've talked about describes us? What if it describes me? What if it describes you? What if I am that person who is just overburdened with worries and cares and stress and anxiety and on and on and on and on and on? What if that describes me? What if that describes you? Is there anything we can do about it? Well, the answer is yes. We've already said God does not want us to live in this state. And guess what? Through the inspired writings of apostles, he's given us a way to overcome. So we're going to explore that. But before we can even think about exploring that, we've got to go through three major obstacles. And obstacle one, we've already kind of talked about it, but it's that if we are this type of person, this negative thinker, this negative attitude type of person, do we want to change? I think there's some people who just like to be miserable. If that describes you, if you want to be this way, that's fine. Just know that it's going to be very destructive to you. It's going to tear relationships apart. It's going to separate between you and God. And it's the state that honestly you don't need to live in. I'll be honest with you. God wants us to spend our life worshiping, praising, and serving Him and thanking Him with everything that we have. And if we're so overburdened with these things, we can't. So, question one, do you want to change? Think about it. Answer it truthfully. If your answer is yes, then let's go on to the next question. Because I've seen this issue kind of pop up in certain circumstances. Do you think you can change? That's a big one right there. In today's science-driven world, we live in a society that science is one of the things that we put a lot of effort into. One of the most popular fields that's getting a lot of press and a lot of publicity right now is genetics. And some of the genetics is tied into the ideas and concepts that you're kind of born with this stuff, and you are who you are, and that's who you are, and you can't change it. And my question is, do you think you can change? Do you think that the attitude and the way that you think you're born with that? Do you? If your answer is yes, then I need to ask you a serious question to consider. And as I go through this, keep this statement in context. As Christians, we look out in the world and we see people who support and even involve themselves in same-sex relationships. Homosexuals. It's wrong, isn't it? It's a sin. You can look in Romans chapter 1 and see the scenario that the Apostle Paul described. It's an evident sin. It's something that you can't be involved in and be pleasing to God, just point blank. If you disagree with me, that's fine. Meet with me after the services and we'll discuss it. And if you still don't believe me, well, that's between you and God. But it's a sin. It's wrong. But yet, many people who rub that persuasion of belief will say things like, well, I was born like this. I can't change. I was born like this. And then we look at another example, an alcoholic. It's a proven fact, science has proven, that some people are born with chemicals in their bodies, the brain particular, that makes them predisposed to being alcoholics. Scientific fact. Does that give them a pass on being an alcoholic? You ask me. Does God say, well, you were born like that, so it's okay? No, He doesn't. Works of the flesh, one of them is drunkenness. You can't live in that state and be a Christian. You can't live in that state and be pleasing to God. So you see, that argument that, well, I was born like this, doesn't hold water. And if that's your thought process, if you think that you can't change, then you have no right to tell anyone in this world that they should change. Don't even dare go talk to the alcoholic and tell him he needs to accept Jesus Christ as a Savior and turn away from that sin. Don't even think about it. Because what is good for the goose is good for the gander. And if we look at the world that we live in and expect them to change, as Christians, we too should be willing to change. Therefore, friends, you may be predisposed to be this way, to have a negative attitude, but you don't have to live with it. That's your decision. If you disagree with what I just said here, well, this lesson is useless to you. And just close your ears up right now and stop listening to me. So can you change? First off, do you want to change? Can you change? The answer to both, the can you change, is yes, but you got to work at it. Question three we need to go through is, do you really believe the Bible? So what kind of question is that, Lee? Honestly, do you really believe the Bible? Do you believe that this is the power of God? Or is it just some book written 2,000 years that we spend a couple hours a week talking about? What's your thought on that? Do you believe in 2 Peter chapter 1, after the Apostle Peter goes through all these things, diligence and virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and brother love and kindness, do you believe, and after that he says, and if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Do you believe that? You believe that's possible? Well, Peter wrote it, so if you don't believe that, you don't believe the rest of this book, what about in James chapter 1? Where James says, and if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God who gives to all men liberally. He goes on to say, but ask him in faith, don't be like the waves of the sea tossed to and fro. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you earnestly ask God for wisdom, that He will give it to you? Honestly. What about in Romans chapter 8? Where Paul says, and likewise the Spirit itself... I can't quote that one, but he says, the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be heard. You think that you don't know how to pray? There's a Spirit, the Holy Spirit. There's probably some debate over what that is, but nonetheless, we're told the Spirit makes groanings for us to God which cannot be heard. And then two verses later, Paul says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All things work together for good. Do you believe those things? And the reason why I ask this question is that if you don't believe that this book is the power of God, then, like I said, the next few minutes are going to be useless for you as well. And just start thinking over what you're going to have for dinner tomorrow night. So three things. Do you want to change? Can you change? And do you believe the Bible enough to take what it says and apply to your life and change? Friends, I really believe the power of God is not some miraculous thing. It's when we take this book and read the things in it and put it in practice in our lives. That's the power of God at work, that we sinful creatures can be made complete and whole, lacking nothing. That's the power of God. So, if your answer is yes to all three of these questions, now let's move on. And now let's start looking at how we overcome. How do we overcome? If the scenario we describe is us, how do we overcome? And if you will get your Bibles, we're going to have to actually look at two different places at the same time. Kind of, you know, maybe put like the cord in the middle and put it in First Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to look at a few verses in this. I'll let you get your place here. And keep your finger there. And then flip over to Philippians chapter 4. Now, what Paul speaks in the tell to is so simple and easy. I have psychology books for classes that cost me $120 that said this very same thing and I had to buy. Okay? There's people who make a lot of money over the very things Paul speaks in to say. So, let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Let's look what he says here. He says, be careful for nothing. Oh my goodness. How many times have we heard this? It means don't be overly anxious. It's not saying that worrying and being concerned about stuff is wrong. There's some stuff we need to be worried and concerned about. But what it is trying to get us to see is don't be overly anxious. Don't be so overwhelmed with stuff that you can't fulfill your purpose as a Christian. But now, look at the second thing. And see, this is so important and we miss it. He says, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Huh? Now, flip back to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to stop there in this verse. We're going to come back to it. Let's look at verse 16 in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. He says, rejoice evermore. He says, pray without ceasing. All right? See how they're starting to overlap? And look at verse 18. And everything that you do, back to Philippians, he says, but in everything there too, they're overlapping perfectly here. He says, give thanks. He says, thanksgiving in Philippians 4 and verse 6. He says, thanks here. He says, okay, well, what's the importance of this? In this verse, he goes on to say, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That is the first thing that you do to overcome a negative attitude, is you begin by simply giving thanks for everything that you have. Thanks for, I'm talking about the bad stuff and the good stuff. You thank God for it. That is the will of God. Me and one of my friends, I was up in Birmingham this past Tuesday, and we were talking, and we differ on some issues, but he's one of my good buddies. And he's talking, you know, the will of God, and he's, you know, trying to figure out what he's trying to do in life as far as his profession is concerned. He says, you know, I'm just being patient and seeing what God's will for me is. You know, many times we look at God's will as this thing that's way out here in the future. It's not. The will of God for us, friends, is simply to give thanks for the very moment that we're in. That's the will of God. And that's the first thing you do. Because the thing is, if you're a thankful person and you give thanks for everything that you have, how can you be negative? How can you sit here and worry and complain over what you don't have when you're giving thanks because of what you do have? It changes your entire attitude. Now, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take months to years, probably, for this to really have an effect. But it changes you from the inside out. And it begins with thanks. Thank God for everything. And don't tell me you don't have nothing to thank God for. Friends, you know, we got it made compared to some people. I know the economic situation is bad with employment rate rises of, you know, near 10%. But guess what? There's some countries that is the employment rate is 10%. We got it made. Even though we're having some hard times, we still got it made. Every last one of us have either already eaten dinner or we're going to eat dinner. We don't have to worry about where it's coming from, friends. There's, you know, the list goes on and on. And this is the challenge, to thank God for the hard stuff too, for the challenge, for the stressful situation in your life. And when you can, and me, and when I say you, realize I'm saying me too, but when we can do this, when we can thank God for the hard stuff, we got it made then. Thanks. It begins with thanks. And I know that's such a simple statement, but I think we miss it. Is that the will of God for us at this very moment is to give thanks, to be thankful people. And if we're thankful people, how in the world can we be negative people, honestly? How can we be overburdened with worries and stresses when we're thankful for what we do have? Give thanks. Turn back with me to Philippians now, chapter 4. He also says, let your request be made known unto God. Don't just go to God and say, gimme, 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 gimme. Go to God and thank Him first for everything. Thank God. Be thankful people. And then pray to Him. We're told that if we'll do these things, the peace of God, which passeth all understandings, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. And that's good. Thanks. That's a great place to start. But there's more to it than just giving thanks. Because, let's face it, friends, we don't spend every second of every day praying and giving thanks. Now look at verse 8. Listen to what Paul says here. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What's he saying? Spend your time and your effort focused on good things. Thinking on positive things. Because I really do believe that we train our minds to think negatively. I do. And if we're in that state, then we got to retrain them to think positively. And it's going to take effort and time. But don't spend your time focused on the negative stuff, on the bad stuff. Spend your time focused on the positive things. Right here. Things, you know, I won't read the list again because you can see it. But that's also where the transformation happens. And see, it goes from the inside out. How can someone who is a thankful person, who spends their time focused on positive things, be negative? Now, bad things might happen to them, yes, and that's life. Unfortunately, we live in a world that's full of sin and full of sorrow, and stuff happens to us. And it may knock us down. It may keep us down for a little while, but we'll get back up because we have that sincere thankfulness. It's too easy to do, isn't it? When I was looking at this lesson, you know, it's as simple as it can be. Just thank God, be a thankful person, and spend your time focused on positive things. It's that easy. And the answer is yes, it is. Now, it's going to take time. I won't lie to you. If you say, well, I'm going to start doing this, and you start tonight and tomorrow's not better. Well, guess what? It doesn't work like that. It's going to take time. You've got to retrain yourself. And it's going to take time to develop this attitude. But you can. You can. And if we'll put forth the effort, friends, we can be the positive Christians that God wants us and has called us to be. We can be profitable to His service. And once again, be the Christian God wants us to be. So, the challenge left for it is what kind of person are you? You a negative person? Think negatively? Okay. Yes, that's fine. Do you want to change? Of course I do. I don't want to live like this. No one likes living like this. Great. You've got the desire to change. Do you really believe you can change? Well, yes, I do. I think I can change. From the core of my heart, I believe I can change. Well, do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Bible is the power of God? Yes, I do. Well, friends, if you answer yes to all three of those things, all that's left to do, I mean, there's probably more to it than just this, but at least a great start is spend your time thanking God for everything. For it is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you and concerning me. It's to give thanks. And beyond giving thanks, spend your time focused and have your mind devoted to thinking on positive things. It doesn't necessarily have to be biblical things, but just good things, positive things, just things, lovely things. Spend your time focused on that. This is the lesson for you, friends. I hope it's been beneficial for you. I really do. I hope it's been some stuff that you can take hold of, and I really do hope that it will benefit you. I hope it will benefit me as well. And once again, if you're one of these people, please consider this and please put this in practice. Give it time. Don't expect immediate changes. Be willing to give it time. Months, it may take years, but it will work, I guarantee you. Now, we have an invitation song, and if anyone here is outside of the fold of Christ and wants to come in, we'll extend you an opportunity here in just a few minutes. We'll ask you to come and make that confession that you believe Christ Jesus is the Son of God. We'll bury you in the water grave of baptism. Your old man will be gone. You will be risen up, a new man. You'll be reconciled back to God. You'll be his son. You'll be a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Or perhaps you are a Christian, and maybe the things that we've talked about have just become so over, have burdened you down so much that you can't make it alone. Friends, everyone here loves you. We're all for you. We're all for each other. If you need the service of the church, if you want us to pray for you, we'll be more than happy to. But please make your wishes known as we stand and sing the selected song.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the the blood of Jesus.